Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
President Joe Biden has COVID rebound, yet another signal of how pernicious the Omicron variants are proving to be. Both Pfizer and Moderna are rushing to make Omicron-specific boosters, but school starts as early as this month, and then there is the continued spread of MPV, or the monkeypox virus. It is time to ask the doctors. Joining us now, Dr. Mark Seidner, a clinical epidemiologist at Massachusetts General Hospital, an associate professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School, and Dr. Cassandra Pierre, infectious disease physician and medical director of public health programs at the Boston Medical Center. Dr. Seidner, welcome back.
Thank you. Great to be here, as always.
And Dr. Pierre, welcome to you as well.
Thanks for having me.
So, Dr. Seidner, let's talk number trends with COVID right now. New cases are stable. Hospitalizations and COVID in our wastewater have decreased by 15% and 21% respectively in the week leading up to this past Friday. We do continue to hear a drumbeat of concern about cases. So where are we?
You know, we are where we've been, I think, for the last 2 or 3 months. Things have been pretty consistent since the big Omicron surge. And that means that cases are still here, hospitalizations are still here, and deaths are still here, albeit not as high as they were a few months ago. I think what's concerning to us in the public health realm is that they really haven't disappeared. We haven't seen the summer lull that we saw last year and we were hoping to see this year. And we know that this new variant, BA5, is here. It's quite contagious and it is still continuing to cause disease. So we're bracing for the fall. We wish numbers were lower. They're not as bad as they were, but it's definitely still around. And I think protection is still important.
So, Dr. Cassandra Pierre, and I'm going to note, we have a bit of a delay on your line. So I'll account for that, but I just want listeners to know that. We reached out to our texting group to ask them if they had questions for Ask the Doctors today. I'm going to pepper some of those in. Right away, we heard from Caitlin in Stoneham, who has a question about repeated COVID infections, which Omicron is raising. So Caitlin asks, quote, if I've already had COVID twice, August 2021 and May 2022, does that make me more susceptible to get it again or less? I have been fully vaccinated and boosted, but never felt bad after any of my shots. Does that mean they didn't work since I then got COVID twice? Both cases were mild. End quote. Let's focus especially on that first part, the way over Omicron has an ability to overcome previous infection and any immunity from that. Where are we?
Yeah, so I would say Caitlin is right on it. There is a risk. There's always been a risk of reinfection, but with these Omicron subvariants, especially BA.5, we are seeing really an unprecedented ability to get around both vaccine and infection-derived immunity. And so it is unfortunately well-placed to cause reinfections, even among people who were sick in the spring. So traditionally, we tell people, if you've been infected, you know, within 90 days, you're probably unlikely to be reinfected. Unfortunately, we've seen a number of reinfections within 90 days. It doesn't mean our vaccines are not working. They absolutely are, but they are primarily really working hard to prevent severe disease, hospitalization, and death. With the immunity, with the evasion, immune evasion we've seen with these new subvariants, they unfortunately are very well poised to cause reinfection, although our vaccines are still working for us.
So, Dr. Pierre, we're having a little more trouble with your line. I think we're going to try to get you on a more solid line. In the meantime, I'm going to turn back to you, Dr. Mark Seidner. One of the questions that has come up, for those who qualify for the age 50 plus additional booster, but may not have gotten it yet, and I'm thinking of the public health data that the city of Boston released last week that showed that while more than 70% of Boston residents were fully vaccinated, less than 50% had received a booster that they had an option to receive. Does, in the short term, that booster provide any additional protection from contracting these very infectious variants? Or are we at a stage now where boosters right now really are about severe illness and death?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think those are two separate questions. I think what we know now is that the vaccines do a less good job of protecting against infection as they did with the older variants, where they were 90% effective. Now we see the effectiveness of these booster doses is more in the 30 to 50% range. But I think very importantly, what do we do? Why do we use vaccines and what are they for? They are to stop us from getting hospitalized, to stop us from getting extremely ill and dying. And what we've seen is that with that second booster, compared to people who haven't been vaccinated, there's about a 30% decreased risk of death. But even compared to people over 50 who've only gotten one booster, those who've gotten two still have about a 3 to 4 times less chance of getting severely ill or dying with that extra shot. We've seen this in May, we've seen this in June. These numbers are consistent. The vaccines are still working for what we want them to do. And I do suggest that people over 50 or those with risk factors who are eligible for a second shot, it's not too late to get it, and it can still have a major impact on your health.
All right. Do we have you back, Dr. Cassandra Pierre?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we are doing Ask the Doctors with Dr. Cassandra Pierre of Boston Medical Center and Dr. Mark Seidner of Massachusetts General Hospital. Dr. Pierre, I'm going to bring you another question from our subtext group. And for listeners, if you'd like to join our texting group to ask questions of Ask the Doctors and a number of other segments we do on Radio Boston, text the word Boston to 617-766-0382. That's Boston to 617-766-0382. And if I went too fast, you can find that information on the About section of our website at radioboston.org. So, Dr. Pierre, Jake in Melrose asks about this, and I think it follows on what we just heard from Dr. Seidner. At first, when the mask mandate was lifted on public transit, I kept wearing a mask anyway just to be safe. I haven't had symptomatic COVID and would like to keep avoiding it. However, that week, I did come down with a fever of something, probably because my immune system was particularly weak after 2 years of quarantine. Is it safer if I am vaccinated and generally healthy to wear a mask in public spaces, or should I be strengthening my immune system by allowing exposure to colds, flus, possibly even COVID, if there's no reason to expect long-term effects, end quote?
So this is an interesting question. It seems to be about a trade-off of wearing a mask to protect yourself against COVID or letting it off and letting the world in. And it's true that there are a lot of other respiratory viruses that are circulating, many are circulating in our nurseries and in day-to-day life. That said, I would potentially dispute the definition of strengthening the immune system by allowing yourself to get these viral infections. I think we've had enough of putting our lives on hold. And I certainly, as the mother of two school-aged children who's gotten repeated viral infections, don't necessarily feel like my immune system has been strengthened by having a succession of non-COVID-related upper respiratory tract infections. So I would say that understanding that everyone has a different risk tolerance at this point, both to COVID and other respiratory tract infections, looking at who you have in your sphere, who may be at higher risk for severe effects should you get COVID, should you transmit it to them, and understanding what your priorities are in your day-to-day life, I have chosen myself to continue to wear a mask in indoor spaces on public transportation because I prefer not to get sick, not because I'm concerned that I'm going to become severely ill or be hospitalized. My vaccines have been working really well for me. But I'd prefer not to get it and not to spread it to those in my life who are older or who are immunocompromised. I don't really think there is necessarily a trade-off in terms of wearing the mask and having a weakened immunity. And I think that, you know, in terms of exposures to viruses, those in your immediate sphere can certainly do the work of bringing those viruses to you, should that be something that you're interested in doing. But I don't think the mask is necessarily going to preclude you or weaken your immune system in any way.
So, Dr. Cassandra Pierre there, I'll turn now to Dr. Mark Seidner. I have a vaccine question for you. So the Biden administration has reached a deal with Moderna to buy 66 million doses of the next generation vaccines that target Omicron specifically. There's an order of 105 million of a similar vaccine pending from Pfizer in June. Those new targeted boosters are not yet out and authorized. For people who are trying to figure out, if I get a booster now, do I then not get the Omicron one, or should I wait for the Omicron one? And when would the Omicron one come, especially after conversations at the federal level last week that perhaps not authorizing or issuing another booster for people under 50 makes sense in order to wait for the Omicron specific. So kind of a limbo there, Dr. Seidner. What's your reaction?
Yeah, I think that for those who currently qualify for that fourth dose, as we're calling it, the second booster, these are people of older ages, these are people with immune suppressing conditions. I do think that the booster dose now is warranted, and I do recommend it. Similar to what we just discussed, we are still seeing increased risk of death in older people and those who are immunosuppressed who don't get that additional dose. And I think there's no reason to wait. For those who don't yet qualify, I think you can hear soon in the next 2 or 3 months, we are expecting, as you mentioned, a new round of boosters, which I think are going to probably become seasonal vaccines, similar to influenza. Those will be targeted to the current circulating viruses, and it's expected that this next round of vaccines, as you mentioned, will be targeted probably to something like BA5. And so I think for those who don't qualify for the second booster, waiting for those to come out makes the most sense. For those who do, I do think there's benefit to getting it now, even if you haven't gotten it yet.
So Dr. Cassandra Pierre, I'm going to shift for just a minute to MPV or the monkeypox virus. Massachusetts saw 36 additional cases last week, bringing the state's total to 115 cases as of July 28. We are now at more than 5,000 cases nationwide as of July 29th. On a scale of 1 to 5, sort of the Richter scale, where does this spread sit for you? And how concerned should we be about our state's preparedness to address it?
So as an individual, I would say that, you know, I'm certainly not afraid or concerned. I've had, unfortunately, 2+ years of that. However, I do want to be sure that as individuals, we are vigilant. We know that monkeypox is not a sexually transmitted infection. It's a disease from contact, and most of us are in contact with other people. So there are things that we know that we should be aware of: rashes on the skin of our loved ones, partners, friends that we come into contact with, making sure that we keep up good hand hygiene and understanding.
And I'm sorry, Dr. Pierre, let me interrupt for just a moment. When you say contact, you predominantly mean physical contact, correct?
I apologize. Yeah, it's physical contact, but also it can be contact with linens, bed sheets, clothing that individuals who may have been sick have come into contact with. So yes, so through touch and through also sharing bedding and other resources and surfaces. That is how this predominantly is transmitted. And again, that's not just through one particular group of individuals. As individuals, we know that we should be keeping vigilant and understanding that, like every virus, there is no predilection for one group of people. We do know that as a state, we have been hobbled by the restricted numbers of tests and vaccines that have been made available to us. And so while our state and our local public health agencies are really trying to work as quickly as they can, we have unfortunately been at a disadvantage because we don't know what we don't test. And we've been prioritizing our testing and our vaccines among men who have sex with men. Understandably, this is the highest risk group that we have at this point. But understanding, again, that this is not a sexually transmitted infection, we've missed opportunities to both test individuals who we've been concerned about, who have rashes and otherwise meet the criteria for concern for monkeypox, and also vaccinating people who may become at high risk. And because of that, we're just, you know, I worry, there is some concern there. I would say probably on a scale of 1 to 5, I guess I would say a 3, that, you know, monkeypox might be slowly filtering through our population. Again, I don't want to unduly raise a cause for concern as individuals. We certainly can and should remain vigilant. We shouldn't be frightened. But there's so much more that we need to do to protect our population and to test and make sure that we know and provide appropriate surveillance for the cases of monkeypox that are now circulating in our state and our country.
Thank you. And we will continue to follow that and talk about that here on Radio Boston. That was Dr. Cassandra Pierre, infectious disease physician and medical director of public health programs at Boston Medical Center, as well as Dr. Mark Seidner, clinical epidemiologist at Massachusetts General Hospital and associate professor of medicine at the Harvard Medical School. Thank you, both of you, for joining us today on Ask the Doctors.
Thanks, Tiziana.